special interview by Bruce Silverman, who's sitting in the studio with me. He's going to interview Alyssa Hamilton, author of Squeezed, What You Don't Know About Orange Juice.
Good morning. Orange juice is good for you, right? Well, it is, but if you only know what you read on the package, then you may be surprised at what happens to this common product between the time it leaves the tree and the time it reaches your table. A new book titled Squeezed, What You Don't Know About Orange Juice, exposes the heavy processing that most major brands of orange juice undergo. The author, Alyssa Hamilton, is a fellow at the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy. She lives in Toronto, and I spoke with her by phone recently. Is orange juice harmful?
In terms of health? Our own human health, no. The book isn't really about whether orange juice is good for you or not. But that said, certainly there's been a lot of interest around the myths about orange juice, really the difference between how it's marketed and what, in fact, you're getting.
What is the problem then?
Well, it's marketed as a fresh, pure, simple product, and in fact, it's highly manipulated. For instance, people pay a premium for not from concentrate, which is the juice that you buy in the carton. Most of us prefer to not have to, for instance, the 3-to-1 frozen concentrate in a can, which is how everyone used to drink their orange juice. Now we have it in a convenient form, and we pay a premium for that, and it's certainly marketed as if almost straight from the tree, fresh squeezed, but it's far from it.
To me, fresh orange juice is when you take an orange, cut it in half, put it over that juicer, press down, and squeeze. That's fresh orange juice. Anything else is, well, adulterated or changed or something. But I see the word fresh on the labels of orange juice packages in the store. You just mentioned the term not from concentrate. That's a term that's used in the industry and in advertising and even, I think, sanctioned by the U.S. government. What are just some of the things that are done to orange juice from when an orange is first touched and the time a person drinks it?
Well, there are more than one. There, for instance, there is from concentrate and there's frozen. There are many different kinds of orange juice, but seeing as not from concentrate is one of the most popular, I'll just talk about it for now. Not from concentrate is a pasteurized orange juice, so the juice is heated to deal with bacteria issues. And many of us think of Florida when we think of orange juice. Oranges don't grow 365 days of the year in Florida. So in order to have a year-round supply, the big juice manufacturers keep their juice in aseptic storage tanks. They're these huge million-gallon tanks. And when the juice goes into these tanks, it has to be stripped of oxygen so that it doesn't go bad, so that it doesn't oxidize in the tanks. When you strip the juice of oxygen, you also strip it of flavor-providing chemicals. These are chemicals that are natural to the juice. So when the juice manufacturers go back to put the juice in the cartons, they add flavor packs, which are these complicated formulas that are engineered by flavor and fragrance houses. And what they do, what these flavor companies do, is they break down the essence and oils that are in, it's a byproduct actually, of making orange juice. These essence and oils are captured by the orange juice manufacturers. They give them to the flavor houses, who then break them into the various constituent chemicals and kind of mix and match, and then put together this flavor pack that is designed to taste like freshly squeezed orange juice. So they put the flavor packs back. If you were to taste the juice coming out of these huge aseptic storage tanks, it would taste like sugar water. It wouldn't taste like an orange. So that's why these flavor packs are important. So they're put back in And then we have our supposedly fresh squeezed orange juice.
So what you're saying that when the oxygen is removed, some of the flavor components are removed too, but when it's time to package the juice, the exact same flavor components are not put back in the same juice. Things have happened along the way. Chemicals have been added or just maybe mismatched. Maybe the flavor pack, as they call it, that's going back in is not from those same oranges.
That's right. It's a complicated process because, in fact, most oranges now are for juicing are being grown in Brazil because land and labor is cheaper there. So some of our orange juice is also in that carton that we're drinking that we think is coming from Florida. There's inevitably a part of it that's coming from Brazil. Because it's now cheaper to grow oranges in Brazil, the flavor houses are also getting many of their essences and oils that they use for these flavor packs from Brazil. So you may be getting a juice that's primarily squeezed from Florida oranges that has the flavor constituents coming from oranges grown in, say, Brazil. And to your question about whether we're getting mixes that you wouldn't find in nature, these flavor packs, anyone in the industry if you talk to will say that they resemble nothing found in nature. Ethyl butyrate, for instance, is one chemical found in orange essence that is emphasized in many of the flavor packs going into juice marketed in North America because flavorists have discovered that ethyl butyrate is one of the chemicals that North Americans associate most with the flavor of a fresh squeezed orange. So that might change, for instance, if the juice were being sold in Brazil, they have a different palate, they might emphasize a different chemical for the flavor packs that go into juice sold in Brazil or Europe or other countries.
The product you're describing is not as found in nature, although the components all are, maybe. So what does fresh mean?
The Food and Drug Administration has been fighting with the orange juice industry actually right back to the 1960s when it started to regulate orange juice. One of their concerns is that manufacturers were marketing their processed orange juice as fresh. And in the 1990s, David Kessler, then FDA commissioner, actually, as an example, confiscated thousands of gallons of a Citrusil product that was labeled fresh from concentrate. David Kessler said, this doesn't make sense. You can't say the product is fresh when it's a processed product. Citrusil's argument was consumers no longer associate the word fresh with an actual process. It's a flavor. So they were arguing that, you know, we're marketing our juice as a fresh flavor. That's what fresh means. In January, Tropicana tried to do an overhaul of its carts, and it said at the top, squeezed from fresh oranges. Well, I hope it's true. I hope that the oranges that they used for their juice were fresh when they were squeezed.
That's the story for so-called not-from-concentrate orange juice, but juice that is labeled from concentrate. The processors remove water, but then it isn't just water that they add back in. Is that right?
That's right. It was called cutback, this fresh juice that they added back to the frozen concentrate and froze it. They froze it with the frozen concentrate, but it had two advantages. One, it restored flavor to the juice that was lost during the boiling. And two, it also provided consistency to the product. So they could make sure that each can of concentrate had exactly the same number of sugar solids. You know, these are orange sugar solids, which is called bricks.
Bricks is a measurement of how much sugar.
Measurement of the fruit sugar in the juice. It provided consistency so that each can was exactly the same as the next in terms of how much sugar it contained. Around the 80s, the frozen concentrate manufacturers discovered that, you know, convenience was so important to consumers, so that's why they started to reconstitute the frozen concentrate for them, and that's, you know, how we have the Minute Maid carton is from concentrate. Well, this began to be a problem for the pasteurized orange juice producers, because until that time, they were really the only one that had a ready-to-serve, good-tasting juice on the market. And then all of a sudden, this from concentrate starts appearing and competing. And it's more economical. It's cheaper to produce from concentrate than it is to produce not from concentrate. And this goes back to the storage. If you think about it, from concentrate is made from concentrate. And that's, you know, concentrate is much cheaper to store than a pasteurized full-strength juice. It just takes less room. So the from concentrate was cheaper than the not from concentrate, and it wasn't called not from concentrate at this point. They called it chilled juice. So the pasteurized orange juice producers, and Tropicana was the leader by far, held a meeting in the 1980s to decide what to do. We have this competitor now, and we can't compete on price. And we used to be competitive because of the convenience factor, but we've lost that edge because now the concentrators are making this convenient product. So what do we do? Should we get rid of our pasteurization technology and switch over to concentrate? Or should we try and market our product? Is there any way we can charge more for our product? How can we convince consumers to pay more for our product? And that's when they came up with the term, the slogan, not from concentrate. The whole idea of being sort of to malign concentrate. You know, our product is fresher. It hasn't been concentrated. All in this statement. In fact, the marketers at this meeting in the 1980s hated the slogan, not from concentrate, because it's marketing 101, not to market your product just generally is not something. But it really took hold, and consumers bought into this idea that pasteurized orange juice is a higher quality, fresher product than from concentrate. And that's why consumers pay a premium for this myth about what not from concentrate is, and quite a significant premium.
You mentioned earlier that in the early 1960s, actually 1961, the Food and Drug Administration had decided to try and regulate some of this terminology. And there was 6 months of fascinating hearings with witnesses from various parts of the industry and scientists, too, about some of this use of terminology. And some industry people, when asked why not tell the consumer everything, you know, the example you just gave was squeezed from fresh oranges. That's one of the things that happens to that juice, but there are other steps that happen that aren't on the label. Why not tell the consumer? And the industry had some interesting things to say about who they thought the typical consumer was and why she shouldn't know everything. Can you elaborate on that?
I would argue that the reason that we know so little about how our food is produced goes back to the 1960s, when the consumer was thought of as Mrs. Housewife. In fact, she was referred to Mrs. Housewife throughout the hearings. Obviously, it's not practical to, you know, to list every piece of information about how a product is produced on the label, but even a very simple word like pasteurized, the FDA wanted pasteurized orange juice manufacturers to label the fact that the juice was pasteurized on the carton. Until that time, they didn't do that.
And why wouldn't they not want consumers to know that the juice had been made safe, that there were no germs in it? Pasteurization is good, isn't it?
What the industry said is the word pasteurized would confuse consumers. It would confuse not just consumers, it would confuse Mrs. Housewife, who was too simple, essentially, to understand complicated procedures.
There are a few other terms that we see on packages that I'd just like to run by you. 100% orange juice. What does that mean?
100% orange juice means it's 100% from the orange.
As opposed to having lemons or limes added or something.
In the standard of identity, they allow for a certain percentage of tangerine juice to be added to orange juice to add color. At this time of year, the orange Florida grows mostly is a Hamlin, and Hamlins are pale when squeezed. So it's a time when many orange juice manufacturers will be adding some tangerine juice to their orange juice to add color, to restore color. So in fact, it's not even true that 100% orange juice, you know, tangerines are in the family of oranges, but this is something that the FDA allowed, and orange juice is a standardized product, so this is all in the standard of identity for orange juice.
Okay, another term that I've seen on packages is simply orange. Does that mean anything?
Simply Orange is the name of a brand. You have Pepsi owning Tropicana and Dole, and then you have Coca-Cola owning Minute Maid, which is their From concentrate. The parallel would be Dole. And then they have Simply Orange, which is their Not From concentrate. So that's their version of Tropicana's pure premium pasteurized orange, Not From concentrate orange juice. So Simply Orange is a Not From concentrate product, and it markets itself, again, as a simple, pure, straightforward, relatively fresh, you know, right from the tree. If you look at the ads, you have birds chirping in these pristine Garden of Eden-like environments, and the oranges are taken from the tree and squeezed right there, and that's the image and the myth behind Simply Orange. The major brands that most of us are buying are highly manipulated products.
Can I ask about one more term that's a relatively new product, light orange juice or low carb orange juice?
The whole low carb trend, the orange juice industry took a major hit because, of course, juice has a significant amount of carbs, mostly in the sugar in the juice. So again, the big manufacturers came up with a way to supply this demand, and many of them have this light orange juice version, which in fact it's marketed as 50% fewer calories and carbohydrates. It's also 50% less juice. They've substituted the natural orange sugar with artificial sweeteners and water and flavor and fillers, and that's your light orange juice.
You mentioned the Hamlin orange. I know in Florida they grow two or three different varieties which ripen at different times during the fall so that they can keep the market going. But as you said, there's a portion of the year when no oranges are ripening, and now they have these big tanks that hold many gallons of juice. How old might juice be when I buy it in the store?
Well, the beauty of these tanks is, you know, once you strip the oxygen, the juice can sit in there for a long time. So upwards of a year, you may be getting juice coming out of these tanks.
And the same for frozen?
Actually, that's a good question. Probably the same. I really was focusing on the myth surrounding not from concentrate, but just remember that the storage of from concentrate, it's stored in frozen form, not in this full strength juice tanks that the pasteurized juice is stored in.
Keeping in mind that there is Florida versus California, there's U.S. versus Brazil, there are processors versus growers, is this industry profitable?
It depends on what industry you're talking about. Florida's industry is really struggling. And I just might mention that you don't have really California versus Florida. California doesn't grow a juice orange. Really, most of its market is going to the fresh orange consumption. So in the U.S., Florida really has a hold on the juice orange market. Florida's where we, in the U.S., grow juice oranges. But that's the question. I mean, that Florida used to rely on orange growers and the orange growing industry for its economic health and wealth, and that's certainly becoming less and less viable. The industry is moving to Brazil, and Florida groves are being turned into condominiums because the land is worth more as a condominium than an orange grove. Florida goes through periods where there's a freeze, and in the 80s there were quite a number of freezes that hit Florida, and so they lost a significant portion of their oranges. At that point, though, the juice industry had grown so big that they needed to supply the demand for orange juice. They had to find a way to fill that demand, and they turned to Brazil and helped set up the infrastructure in Brazil to grow oranges and process oranges even there. And now that industry in Brazil has far surpassed Florida in the number of oranges grown, and it's really becoming the place where orange juice is coming from.
And I understand that now some Brazilian companies have purchased some of the juice processing plants in Florida.
That's right. That's
and then so they process it, and then they sell the juice to Minute Maid and Tropicana and others and put the brand name on there?
That's right. And very simply, for these multinational corporations, you know, Coca-Cola and Pepsi, it's cheaper to get the processing off of their, that's not where they're making the money. They're making the money on the brand. So they're happy to give that over to Brazilians.
Alyssa Hamilton, do you drink orange juice?
No, I don't. And it's not for my research. I never did. I always prefer the whole fruit, whole foods.
Okay, fair enough. But if our listeners want to buy orange juice and know what they're getting, how can they know what they're getting?
Well, the one recommendation I can always give is if your juice has a shelf life of 60 days, it's not fresh. Fresh squeezed orange juice lasts a few days. So that's, first of all, a good way, a good starter. You know, if you want something that's truly fresh squeezed, then you got to question a juice that lasts for 2 months in your refrigerator.
Okay, so the expiration date.
Expiration date is definitely a good gauge of how fresh, you know, or how simple, really. Your best bet is to squeeze your own. Another tip I'd give, you'd be best to buy juice from March to June. That's when, in Florida, they grow the best juice oranges, the Valencia. And that's when, if you're buying pasteurized orange juice and not from concentrate, you'll be getting the most fresh juice in your carton at that time of year, because they don't have to add a lot from storage at that time of year. That is the prime orange and the prime season for growing oranges in Florida. So I would just suggest that consumers really consider that most of the foods that they eat are seasonal, and to try and be aware of when those seasons are. And the best way to support Florida growers is to buy a bag of Valencias between March and June and squeeze them your own. But if that's too difficult, you know, that's the time still to buy orange juice. It's a time when you'll be getting the most fresh orange juice, and you'll be getting the most from Florida at that time of year.
Well, how can a consumer keep up with this issue and find more information?
You can go to the book's website is www.yalebooks.com/squeezed.
Listeners can Google Alyssa Hamilton, AlyssaHamilton, and some of her other interviews and articles she's written will be found there.
And also there's the Food and Society Fellows Program, which is foodandsocietyfellows, all one word, .org.
Alyssa Hamilton, author of Squeezed, What You Don't Know About Orange Juice, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us on KBOO.
Thank you. It was fun.
Alyssa Hamilton researches food and agricultural policy at the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy. Their website is www.iatp.org. You can find her other interviews and articles at the following website, Yale Press, it's Yale University, yalepress.typepad.com/squeezed. For the Food and Drug Administration's rules on labeling of juices, use any search engine and type Code of Federal Regulations 101.30. And you can call our reception desk in a few minutes in case you didn't get all of that. We'll give it to you over the phone. I wondered if all juice companies do the same as industry giants Coke and Pepsi. So I called Oregon juice maker Columbia Gorge Organics. Owner Cheryl Stewart told me that even on oranges, which certainly don't grow in Oregon, Columbia Gorge buys fresh fruit year-round from California, Arizona, and Texas, and they simply squeeze it. They do add mandarins for color, as they clearly say on the label, and they flash pasteurize, as they also say on the label. Stewart said the flavor of her juice might vary throughout the year, but they do not take anything out or add anything in. Well, that's the Radio Zine for today. My name is Bruce Silverman. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned now for the community calendar, followed by an afternoon of music.